day. Every day is a good day. It's a great day. It's about your attitude. Anybody ever have teenagers with interesting attitudes? Oh, my Lord. Shoo. Well, we don't do that, do we? Nah. All right, let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. We are so glad to be in the house of the Lord, to be in the family of YCF. Father, we come hungry to hear from you. We come expecting that you have a word that's going to pierce our hearts, encourage us, and send us on all the great things and plans you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you believed it. I was like, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Praise God. Hey, I want to welcome you to a new series. New series. Ready? It's called Believing. Everybody say Believing. Yeah. All right. And believing is a place where anything can happen. That ought to be your refrigerator sticker for the month. Write it down. It was good. Believing is a place where anything can happen. By the way, I'm doing a grow group. I host. That means I clean my bathroom. I throw water on the table, pretzels, whatever. And I'm doing the series, or rather Jerry Savell is doing a series on the life of faith. So this is something I've been chewing on all summer. And besides hosting it at my house, I decided I'd sort of slide it in on the believing. So it's kind of where I'm going here. Just give you a little background. But as I was reading and studying for my grow group and studying for the last month on this believing, you know, there's a story where Jesus ran into a father who was desperate. Jesus ran into a father who was desperate. And as I read the story, I thought, man, I'd be the same way. Dads, if you have a child who's in, so that you can have more of what God has for you. Alrighty. Now, you know, the cool thing about Jesus is he is always trying to help us. He's always trying to help us see more here. All right. And the first time he helped somebody after he resurrected, okay, after he died on the cross, after he was buried, after he spent 3 days in the pit of hell and God raised him up, he's trying to help somebody see so they can believe. And if you open up to John chapter 20, you'll be with me. John chapter 20, verse 24. At this point, Jesus has risen from the dead. He's got the holes in his hands and his feet and his side. Okay, and this is where this event takes place. Ready? John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Anybody know this? Right? Okay, verse 25. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said, this is Thomas. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, I put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Guess what Thomas is saying? Seeing is believing, right? That's what he's saying there. He's saying, hey, I will believe it when I see it. Alrighty. Now, people love to just smear Thomas and just get all over his case. Because of all of this, they just kind of shred him. But listen, I'm convinced if any one of those other disciples were not there, they'd be saying the exact same thing. I'm pretty sure. Listen, I'm convinced if I were to switch places with Thomas and if I was walking in his shoes and knowing what he knew, I'd probably say the same thing. Matter of fact, I'm convinced I would. Because listen, you guys think, oh, well, they knew that. They read their Old Testament. Guys, they didn't walk around with Bibles like we have, and they certainly didn't have apps like we had. Listen, and the Old Testament, it was coded. You know, we like to use the religious word. It's types and shadows. But it was kind of coded. And in the scriptures in the Old Testament, it does say that Jesus would die and rose again. But it doesn't come out real plain. It's kind of coded. And those guys, they didn't know that. They didn't know that. All right. So then you've got Thomas. Blessing be to Thomas. All right. And I thought about him. If I were to switch places with Thomas, I would have said the exact same thing. Yeah, I would have. And you know what? What people would be saying today? Oh, there goes doubt and D. Oh, man, that's doubt and D stuff. Yeah, because we always say doubting Thomas, right? Y'all awake? Thank you. Praise God. But I'm telling you, it would be the exact same thing based on all that you know that they knew, what they knew that you know. Okay, so let's jump down to verse 26, John 20, 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was there. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." All righty. Now, I was cracking up thinking on this. Like, we live in a time where it's beam me up, Scotty. Beam me down, Scotty. Right? We live in sci-fi. How many of you like sci-fi? Don't raise your hand. Okay. So, we live in this, and we even have the X-Men, and I think one of them can go through the walls, right? Or at least underneath the door. Okay? So, you know, when you read that scripture, you know, we don't stop and think, oh, wait a minute, that's not sci-fi. Oh, wait a minute, they don't transport, okay? So can you imagine these guys in the room that day, all right? It says the doors are locked, all right? The doors are locked, and all of a sudden Jesus appears. Ping! All righty? Now, Jesus wants to help Thomas. Jesus wants to help Thomas. He wants to open his eyes. So let's read the next 27 and 28. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Praise the Lord. And verse 28, and Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Okay, so right then, yeah, he is seeing and believing. Duh, right? He can see, he can believe. But Jesus wanted to turn that whole thing around. Jesus wanted him to get to bring him to a place where he would be believing and then seeing. And I love what he says in verse 29. Verse 29, this is Jesus' response. Then Jesus told them, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." Right? Because you've seen me, you believe. And then he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." How many of you have ever seen Jesus walk through the wall? How many of you have ever seen Jesus in the flesh? Okay? And yet, you're sitting here as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you believe he's your Savior? How many of you are living the life? How many of you are practicing the Bible? All righty? And you know what happened? Believing is seeing. Okay? It became real on you that you now believe and you now see. It's real to you. How many of you, it's real? Jesus is real. Right? All right. So, now, again, verse 29, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe." So listen to this, guys. Every time that you see something in the Word of God, every time that you step out on what God has said, it says there's a blessing. There's a blessing that comes your way. Praise God. I like being blessed. All righty. Everybody say, believing is seeing. So here's my heart for this series, this whole series on believing, is I want to help all of us come up another level, come up a little bit higher so that you are receiving all the supernatural, abundant blessings that God has for your life. That's the whole purpose of this, that you will catch it and grow. All righty? Now, whether it's you're going to grow in more joy in your life, more peace in your life, more freedom in your life, praise God. But can I tell you, God wants to bring you to a place where you are seeing more, believing more, so that he can have, he can get those blessings into your life more abundantly. Everybody like abundant? Yeah, I love it. Anybody ever go to Dairy Queen and ask him, "I want more whipped cream"? Just keep going. I'll tell you when to stop. All right? I like that. And the chocolate sauce, just keep it on. All right? Abundant. I like that. All righty? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Most of you know this, so I picked a different translation so you can pay attention. Pastor D. Yeah, they'll pop it up on the screen. All righty? Hebrews 11, 1. Praise God. Praise God. When we start seeing, it becomes real. Y'all at Hebrews 11:1. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives proof of what we cannot see. Now, you could take that word faith out and swap it with believing, and it would have the same scriptural meaning. You could take that word faith out, and now I'm going to read it with believing. So it'll say, believing makes us sure of what we hope for and gives proof of what we cannot see. Believing, right? What is our message? Believing is seeing. All right, so we can't see with these natural eyes, but we can see with these eyes. We can't see with these eyes the blessings of God, but we can see them here, and then bam. So you see the word proof up there? Praise God. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives proof to what we cannot see. That word proof is a really important word. And in the Greek, it also translates to evidence. And a lot of translations say that. Anybody's translation say evidence instead of proof? Okay, now, back in the day, back in the when this was written, okay, they would use that word in the same manner of going before the judge and the jury. And you know, the attorneys get up. How many love those attorneys? Some of you are like, okay. Well, the attorneys, there's an inside joke in my family about that. So the attorneys would get up and they would say, hey, I have evidence, I have proof, and it's real. Right? Anybody catch me? All right. So this is what God's saying believing is. You have to see it here. And when you see it here, it's real. When you see what God's promise says, what his he declares, when you see it in here, it's real. It's like, that's it. Done deal. It's evidence. I got it. All right. So it is really, really important to start seeing. All righty. So that you have this evidence that you can be seeing. All right. Years ago, I got a story for you. I love telling stories to you. Years ago, my kids were teenagers. You know, my kids are all 2 years apart. And the pressure was on. Christmas is coming, and I always make Christmas cookies. But, you know, when they got to be teenagers, and they would find my cookie tins, because I'd stack, well, find them nothing. I'd stack them on top of the refrigerator, and I had all these cute little Christmas cookie tins, and I'd make cookies and put them in there. But you know what I found out? If I made those cookies too early in the month, Christmas Eve, that's it. You know, we're down to one chocolate chip, one sprinkled, and that's it. So I am a day older and a little smarter, so this is what I do. I would come home early. I only worked part-time here at the YCF office. I would come home early, and I'd make a couple batches of cookies. And then I'd put them in the freezer out in the garage underneath the green beans. And I didn't put them in my pretty cookie tins, my Christmas ones. I just found any old things, all right? So I would put them in there in the freezer. And then, okay, so what happens when you make cookies? What does your house smell? Really yummy. So in December, what are we making? Christmas cookies. So I'd run and open every window in the house, open the front door so that yummy smell would get out. Okay? Okay? And then I close everything up, and then, you know, around 3:30, 4 o'clock, kids were rolling in, and nobody even noticed, except they probably said, man, it's cold in here. Okay? Now, why am I saying this? I had to hide the evidence, right? I had to hide the evidence, because if they saw the evidence, guess what? Come Christmas Eve, there weren't going to be many cookies, all righty? So this is what now. This is what God's saying to us. Listen to this. When you believe something here, it becomes evidence. It becomes as real as those cookies. It becomes that real. When you see it here, you see the promise of God here. When you see it, it's as real as those cookies, okay? And you can't deny it. Praise God. It doesn't matter what you see in the natural of what's going on in your life and your body and anything. You got it. You see it. And believing is seeing. Praise God. Y'all going to make Christmas cookies this year? Okay? Now you know how to hide them. And you know, guys, it is amazing when you start seeing here. It is amazing. Praise God. So we're going to jump forward a little bit, and I'm going to give you some instructions on how to put on a better pair of glasses on these inside eyes. I'm going to give you some pointers, all right? So basically, how to create evidence in here. And it's really simple. You're going to go, duh, I knew that. All right? It's really simple. You ready? Write this down. Hearing produces believing. Hearing produces believing. Hearing produces believing. All righty. Now, listen, when you hear what God says, when you read the promises of God, when you read your Bible, that hearing produces believing. That hearing produces believing. So what is believing? Believing is seeing. Oh, Pastor D, this is so simple. Yeah, I know, but got to do it. Righty. So we put on our glasses by hearing and hearing the word of God. So praise the Lord. Why do I always say read your Bible every day? We emphasize that here in just about every service. Guys, get into the word of God. Go meditate on the word of God. Go get a program that you're going to stick with on reading the word of God. Remember a couple of months back, maybe it's a year ago now, we said soap. Find a scripture, write it down. What's the O? Write down how it lights up your eyes, then write down the application, how you're going to do it, and then end up in prayer. That's just another way of just keeping this word inside of you so that your glasses can see really good, all righty? Because hearing will make believing. The more you hear the word, the more you read the word, it's going to create believing so that you can receive the things God has for you. Praise God. Open up to Romans 10. I got a good scripture for you. Great scripture. Of course, I say that about every scripture. No, I usually say that's my favorite, but here we go. Romans 10, 17. Matter of fact, let's read it all out loud. So then, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How many of you see the word faith? How many of you see the word hearing twice? Okay, now listen. That's what it's really saying. When you read, and when you hear, it's going to produce faith. All right? Again, if I take the word faith out and I stick the word believing, it would say believing comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All righty? If I take the word faith out and I put seeing, you could read it this way. Seeing here comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you've got faith, you've got believing, and you got seeing. But there's a part you play. All righty? Praise God. We've got to start seeing here. And when we see it here, it becomes evidence. And when it becomes evidence, man, you connect with the promises of God, and they're yours. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you one more Bible story. How many of you know the woman with the blood problem? The woman with the issue of blood, okay? She had a problem. All righty. Now, she's got some internal bleeding going on. She doesn't know that. They don't have sonograms back then. They didn't have throw her on an ultrasound. They didn't do, dear Lord, I hope they didn't do surgeries back then. Okay. But God lets us know by writing this in the Bible. But I'll tell you what she did know. She knew she had a problem. She knew she had gone to every doctor, and not their fault. She got worse. She knew that her body was getting weaker. She knew she had spent all her money. She knew she was not doing good. She had a problem. Wouldn't you agree? All right. And then the Bible says something amazing. The Bible says that she heard. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. The Bible says that she heard about Jesus. Right? Okay. So Jesus is coming to her town, but she heard. All righty. She heard, what did she hear? Well, she heard that Jesus was saying that he was the Son of God. She heard you all saying that he was a prophet. She had heard that he was healing people with leprosy. Now, leprosy was pretty creepy back then, okay? If you had leprosy, that you were not allowed to hang out with your family. You were just sent all the way over here. And eventually, it's a really gross disease. You know, it just deteriorates your body parts, and it's just bad. And actually, no hope back then. No hope. So she heard that Jesus was cleansing the lepers. She heard that Jesus was causing blind eyes to open, healing people that were blind. She heard that Jesus was healing people that were deaf. She heard that Jesus raised the dead. Man, she heard about Jesus, right? Okay, and you know what happened? Because she heard and she heard and she heard, it caused her to believe on the inside. It caused her to believe on the inside, and this is what she does. The Bible says that she kept, because she heard all these reports about Jesus, then she believed, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. But wait a minute. It started with hearing produces believing, right? She kept hearing. Now, she didn't walk around with her New Testament, but she kept hearing these reports. She kept hearing these reports. So how about you keep hearing the word? How about you keep hearing the word? You keep hearing the word, and it becomes evidence on the inside. And then she said, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. Amen. That's good news, okay? Now, we got a little complication, a little hiccup in the road. Jesus is in town, and he's walking with a guy named Jairus. Anybody ever hear about him? Jairus goes up to Jesus and says, hey, listen, I have a daughter and she's about ready to die. Can you come to my house? And what does Jesus say? Yes, I'll come to your house. Now, back to our woman. So Jesus is walking from point A to point B with Jairus to go to his house. And we got this woman and she sneaks up in the crowd. Now, what you have to understand back then, that the culture back then believed if the man of God was around, if they just touched them, they would get better. They would receive a blessing. So the Bible says that Jesus was walking in a crowd, not just a crowd, like, you know, like food truck day down at Penn Park. No, he was being thronged. And the reason, because everybody thought, if I can just get up to him, I'll get a blessing. He's a man of God. We know that much. So he is being shoved, pushed, touched all over. And that little lady who happens to have a little issue going on, right? She's probably really weak. The Bible said she'd had that for years and years, and she's really weak. She pushes herself through the crowd and touches Jesus. And the Bible says the power of God came into her body. The power of God came into her body. Wow. And you know what happens? Jesus stops and he says, who touched me? And his disciples are probably going, Jesus, you've been out in the sun too long again. Why are you asking that? Can't you see everybody's touching you? Everybody's. And he looks at them and he says, no, who touched me? Power came out of my body. And he's looking around, and then all of a sudden that lady, she must have been so close that she saw and she heard those. Jesus said, who touched me? And she said, the Bible says, again, she hit the floor. She bowed before the Lord Jesus. And she goes through her whole story. She says, I heard about you, Jesus. I heard and I believed that if I could just touch your clothes, I'd be healed. So I pushed my way through the crowd and I put my hand to your clothes so that I would receive my healing because God's going to heal me. And Jesus says the most famous, profound words. What does he say? Woman, your faith has made you whole. That's the only time you can go, woman, all right? Okay. Can you tell I taught children's ministry? That is a fun one. Okay, now, think about it. He never had a healing line, got the anointing oil out, everybody line up, and put his hands on her, did he? Did he even stop and pray for her? No, the Bible says she actually snuck up, and he didn't even know it, and touched him. But he said, and the power of God went out of him into her. Woman, your faith has made you whole. Okay? And it begins with seeing. And you better come back next week to get the connection. Praise the Lord. Or I'm just living you out on the tree limbs here, okay? So I want to wrap up, and I want to give you a couple of questions. I'm going to ask you four questions. What are you seeing? Okay? Four questions. We'll wrap up. Man, I'm going to get you up for 12 maybe. How about that? Praise the Lord. And my heart is that the eyes in here will open up bigger so you can see and you can receive. Amen. All right. Question number one. You ready? What are you seeing concerning your finances? Listen, you may be sitting here and you got it all figured. You got the retirement and you're just doing, you know, your finances are real stable. But you still have the same question. What do you see for your finances? Do you see God is able to do more than you can with your finances without you getting in there and moving this money to this account? So it doesn't matter. Maybe you're sitting here and your finances, you're just really struggling. Or maybe you're sitting here and your finances, well, you're kind of somewhere in the middle. But you still have the same question. What do you see here that God is able to do in your finances? All righty. Now, God wants to help us in our finances. He does. Someone say amen. It's a good time to say amen. All right. It doesn't matter if you're a fixed income. It doesn't matter if you're overflowing income. It doesn't matter if you end up with living from paycheck to paycheck. God wants to help you with your finances. Amen. Okay. And I'm going to give you a scripture and I want you just to listen. If you've got plenty overflowing or you're in the negative, this is a good scripture just to hear and hear and hear and hear so that your eyes open up and you can have evidence and you can have God move in your life. So everybody open up to Philippians 4. 4:19, praise the Lord. I'm going to read this because you all know this. I'm going to read out of a different translation. This is how I get you. Ready? You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. His generosity. Aren't you glad he's a generous God? Okay. His generosity exceeds even yours in the glory that pours out from Jesus. Okay, let me tell you what he's saying. Number one, Jesus paid a price on the cross. He paid for us on the cross. He paid for it. He paid and he blessed you by what Jesus did on the cross. All righty? So the Apostle Paul is saying that hey man, it's really good, but God has got good things because what Jesus did for you already paid for you on the cross. Now, let me give you a little background. I kind of got ahead of myself. This is the Apostle Paul writing this scripture, and a church has just sowed into him. A church had emptied their pockets and given him an offering. I like that. Okay? And he's being really nice. He's doing the thank you card, right? You always say thank you. So he's right. He's saying thank you very much. But he's also saying God's generosity exceeds yours. Well, what does that mean? God, do you see God as a generous God that wants to exceed what you do? Do you see God as a generous God that wants to help you in your finances? Do you see God as able to come into your life because of what Jesus did and bless your finances? Well, if you don't, I do. I'm taking your pile. You know, people go, wow, I don't believe in that prosperity message. Good, go be poor. Been there, done it. I don't like it. All right? But listen, guys, until you can see down here, until you see down here, God's not going to be able to get it to you. It starts by seeing. So get into this scripture. Go get into, there's a whole bunch of scriptures about God wanting to be, that God is generous. He wants to be generous in your life. Praise God. Because when you see it, then you have the evidence and then you're able to receive it. All right. Question number two. Ready? What are you seeing concerning your freedom? What are you seeing concerning your freedom? Okay. After you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it's amazing. How many would say, it's amazing since I've received Jesus into my life? My life is better, all righty? But listen to this. All of us can have these invisible chains that keep us on lockdown. Pastor D, what are you talking about? Well, how about this? How about the chains of fear? I know, I'm a believer. I've received Jesus, but people have fear in their life. They have chains of anxiety. They have chains of insecurity, and they're chained down. They got lockdown going on. We always think, well, that's just addiction because, you know, they're captive. No. You can have those things, and yet, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself, all right? So my question is, can you see that God has freedom for your life in whatever area that you might have in your life that you sort of have these chains going on, all righty? What do you see concerning your freedom? How do you see that area of your life? Open up to Luke 4:18. Open up to Luke 4:18. I love this scripture. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Luke 4:18. Praise the Lord. The Spirit. Now, this is Jesus talking this. It's actually, he's quoting an old scripture out of Isaiah. And Jesus is saying this in a church gathering. He's going to blow their circuits. And he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Aren't you glad you got the good news that Jesus came for you, right? To preach the good news to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to announce that captives shall be set free. Now, at that time, Jesus was telling everybody what he was going to do on the cross, but he's already been on the cross. And guess what? The captives are set free. And before I received Jesus, you guess what? You were captive. But Jesus tells me right here that the captives are set free. Strosba, that's one of those scriptures you and I are going to go dueling at. We're having this conversation. I thought, I got to give you another one, all right? So, okay, just side thought. It just excited me. I wanted to tell you, okay. Praise the Lord. So we no matter what's going on in your life, Jesus says that the captives are set free. So everybody say, I'm free. Okay, the next part says, and the blind shall see, the downtrodden shall be freed. I love that word, free. It talks about freedom. That's what we've got in Jesus. All right. They shall be freed from their oppressors in verse 19. And verse 19, and God, I lost my place. Praise the Lord. And that God is ready to give blessings. No, I'm not. I'm in the wrong scripture. Praise the Lord. Totally on the wrong page. No, I'm not. Praise the Lord. Do you know, I was messing around with the fonts, and I thought, oh, I don't need font 14. I said, so I'm sorry, I'm going to go to font 16 next week. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Somebody asked me, am I real? Yep, sure am. Here we go. Verse 19. Let's back up. He to heal the brokenhearted, to announce that the captives shall be released and the blind shall see, the downtrodden shall be freed from their oppressors, and that God is ready to give blessings to all who come to them. So my question is, what do you see concerning your freedom? All right. Do you see that God has already, according to this, has already set you free? Until you see it, you're not. But when you see it, man, you are. And you're going to do this to the day Jesus takes you home. He'll keep giving you more this word that brings more light. And you can see how free he's made you. Praise the Lord. All right. And I hope this gives you hope that your eyes can see what God sees for you. Everybody say, I'm free. I've been set free. Praise the Lord. Okay. Question number three. What do you see concerning your health? Praise the Lord. Some of you may be struggling with some really serious stuff. And the question is, what do you see concerning your health? Do you see that God can help? Do you see God can be involved? All righty. And now I want to say this. I'm not talking about don't take your medicine. Don't go to the doctors. I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm asking, do you see what God can do in your life? Okay. And listen, God wants to help us in our physical bodies. He wants, and that's one of the things that, well, it's one of the things Jesus did on the cross. It said, with his stripes you're healed. Okay? Now, the crazy thing is, God always wants to help. He wants to help us in our bodies. And sometimes, anybody know of somebody who was immediately healed? Boy, only two hands went up. Okay, three. Okay, good. Let's just check to see if you're awake. All right, so sometimes God does some immediate things, like that woman with the issue of blood, right? Was that was immediate, right? Okay, and sometimes God just does a supernatural recovery. I was just reading about a gentleman that I know. He went into the hospital for just an XYZ procedure, just really simple. He ended up by having a stroke. And the doctor said, hey, listen, he is out of commission for the next 6 months. And you know what? In 6 weeks, he was back. So God did something as a speedy recovery. I love praying that. Speedy recovery. Just blow those doctors and they'll say, what happened to you? Well, let me tell you, have a seat. I'm going to tell you about the good news, all righty? Sometimes, you know, it's just God, really, sometimes, all the time, it's God helping you at whatever level you're at. Whatever level you're at. And don't you dare point your finger at somebody because you think they should be here. Because they might put a mirror in front of you. God wants to help you wherever you're at. All right, if it's taking medication, if it's doing surgery, or else it's just, you know, God spoke it, it's real, I've got it. But you have to see it. You have to see it, it becomes real, and God wants to help us in our bodies. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give you just one scripture on that one. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Praise the Lord. I love this one. Whoa. Okay. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. One translation says all his kindness. One translation says all his promises. So this is what he's going. Don't forget the promises. All right. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his acts of kindness, his promises, his blessings, his benefits, all right? Who forgives all my sins or my iniquities, who heals all my diseases. Praise God. Sickness and disease, all righty? Guys, this Bible from cover to cover, God is a good God, and he's telling us all over this Bible that he came for healing in our bodies. All over it, just all over from cover to cover. But the question is, are you seeing that God brings healing, brings freedom in your body? So what you got to do is you got to go in that word and just start hearing it until it becomes this solid proof inside, and then just start walking it and walking it. Praise God. Last one. Here we go. Question number 4. What do you see concerning your future? Now, in this congregation, we have a lot of different generations. We got babies downstairs. We got middle people. We've got senior saints up here. All right. And I love talking to all of them. I love hanging out in the hallway and the foyer there with the little kids. And Shirley McGurr, your Jack used to love to give kids Chiclets. Remember that? He would crack me up. He'd love to talk to the kids, and he'd do the shake, and he'd stick a Chiclet in his hand. It was so cool. He loved every generation, didn't he? Praise God. Well, I do too. Now, the interesting thing is we've got young people here. And how many of you know this world is crazy? It is bananas. All right? It is crazy, and it is full of problems. Praise the Lord. No, I'm not praising the Lord for the problems, but it's pretty bad out there. And a lot of times I'll hear young people say this, man, it's really bad out there. I don't know what kind of future I have. And listen, if you're a child of God, God has a good hope and a future for you. And you've got to see that in here. You got to see that so that you can walk in that. And if you're young couples or if you're raising kids, I want you to know you have a hope. If you're middle-aged, what's middle-aged? I keep moving that definition here, okay? Okay, if you're middle-aged, God has a hope and a future. If you're single, God has a hope and a future. And this one, I want to praise the Lord. Seniors, these retirees that go, well, you know, I'm just going to sit around. There's nothing left for me to do. Are you kidding me? God doesn't say when you become retired and a senior that he doesn't have a hope and a future for you. Man, I got this. Yeah, praise the Lord. Keep moving, Pastor D. Open up to Jeremiah 29:11. Keep me out of trouble. God has a hope and a future. 29:11. Praise the Lord. This is out of the Living Bible. Again, I want to open up your eyes a little further so that believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Ready? For I know the plans I have for you, says my mama. Now, my kids, if you would have quoted that, they would have said, my mom says that. Because every night when I put my kids to bed, I would pray that over them. God has a hope and a future, okay? And finally, they grew up and they go, Mom, you didn't say that. I said, no, God said that. So, hey, Parenting 101, go read this over your kids. Ready? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for and not, yeah, to give you a hope and a future. Now, every once in a while, none of you are them, I get these negative people. Well, Pastor Day. You know, that's an Old Testament scripture, and that has to do with the Jewish folks, not us. And you know what I say? Read your New Testament, because the Bible says that every promise of God is yea and amen. All the good ones are yea and amen. So I do say it a little bit nicer than that, but that's Jeremiah is for us, all righty? So what he's saying is, my plans for you are good and not evil. My plans for you are good and not evil. Now, how many have had some bad things happen in your life? Right? Okay. Now, but he's saying the plans that God has are good for you. And we live on a cursed earth. It's fallen apart. And we still have an enemy. All right? And there are times the bad things happen, but they aren't God's plans. Do you ever run into someone who likes to think that they want it? They want to say, well, God has this for me. That, you know, whoa, poor me. I'm like, man, you are not smart. Notice I didn't say dumb, right? I was just being uplifting here. Praise the Lord. All righty. Praise God. Listen, he says he wants to give you a future and a hope. So we have to see this inside, that God wants to give us a future and a hope. And you know what happens? It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. When you start seeing this, that God has a good hope and a good future for your life, you can start walking in it. It'll start happening in your life. All righty? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes, lift our hands and say, thank you, Lord, for the good plans you have for my life. Thank you, Lord. You have good plans for my life. You have good plans for my spouse. You have good plans for my children. Man, I have a hope and a future. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for good plans. I thank you that I see those plans. They're evidence inside of me, and I have them in my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Father, we're just going to close up. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the word that brought light into our eyes. I thank you, Father, that... praise the Lord that we walk by faith and not by sight. I thank you, Lord, that we are growing. And I thank you, Father, that you have shown us that we have another set of eyes. We have another set of eyes, and we know that it supersedes any report, anything we can see. And we thank you, Father, because we believe you're moving. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God.